In the name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord does have mercy on us all of us, each of us, at all times and in all places. Our Lord's will is to look beyond our sins and to spare us from his deserved and righteous wrath. He truly wants to save us from ourselves, from our own self-inflicted misery, from our strong-willed desire to make our own way and to do for ourselves, and from our refusal to trust him and turn to him at all times. And so every year, our Lord calls out to us with these words, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." That is why we're gathered here, isn't it? That's why we dedicate ourselves to this 40-day Lenten fast. That's why we come together for this divine service, and it's why the Lord himself sanctifies us with his absolving word and that life-preserving Eucharist. We beg the Lord to have mercy on us, to heal us, to strengthen us, to renew our zeal for him. And so in the secret of our hearts, we pray, O Lord, deal not with us according to our sins, nor punish us according to our iniquities. O Lord, do not remember those former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, and deliver us for your name's sake. We pray this prayer, and we come to this place, not because of what we can do, not because of what we can give to the Lord, or because that he might want to see us grovel at least once a year. It's not because we can move him to tears with our confession, or because he's pleased to see us expose all of our sins and all of our fears. It's not because confession is good for the soul, or because our admission of guilt and our rightly worded prayers will finally deliver us from our burdens. And it is certainly not because our heartfelt, sincere believing will finally get us the things that we've hoped for. No, we are gathered by the Spirit at this very service to hear once again the Lord's mercy. Think how often it is that we forget that simple term, as the devil encourages us to shove it aside. And because of that, we so often latch on to words that urge us to do something for God, instead of latching on to what the Lord says he has done for us and will give to us. And so time and again, the Lord re-speaks his mercy to us, and he replants within us his own body and blood. But that's what invigorates us. Not us, but him. Not our promises, but his. Not what we give to him, but what he gives into us. That's why the church urges us to begin again her annual Lenten disciplines, with its fasting and prayers and self-sacrifice. It's all to refocus on our Lord and his unending love for each of us, that love shown most clearly in his execution and then sealed with his resurrection. Because that's what we need. We don't need another self-improvement program. We don't need another way to tell ourselves and others how unworthy we are. That would be all about us. What we need, what animates our life, what strengthens us for our journey through that life, and what sees us through each and every temptation and affliction, is our Lord's sure mercies. Mercies that are concentrated and delivered in his body and blood. And so we fast, not like the hypocrites who want to show off their piety and be complimented for their commitment. And we fast, not like those who believe that you can be godly if you imitate Jesus. We fast because we hunger and thirst for the Lord's righteousness given in his sacrament. We fast because our desire is to live from the strength that the Lord gives in his word and in his supper. We fast because we want to discipline ourselves to set our minds on heavenly things. And we fast not only because we want to be reminded of our Lord's self-sacrifice, but because we desire also to taste the fruit of his labors and then to be satisfied with whatever he serves us. We have heard that the Lord is merciful, that he is compassionate, and that he embraces the likes of even you and me. And so we pin all of our hopes, all of our fears, and all of our longings to Jesus and his great mercy, insisting in this time of Lent and in all seasons that nothing be allowed to distract us from the love that he is and he gives. That's what our Lord means when he says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." It isn't his desire that we figure out a way to get our life together. He desires that we simply take him at his word. He is our heavenly treasure, and he delivers that treasure to you by the mouth of his pastor, in the chancel, in the font, and at the altar. And by his Spirit, he gives us the faith to lay hold of himself and his gifts, and to believe that they are truly for us and truly good for us. And in that faith, then, a new prayer comes forth from our mouths, a song of praise, and a faith-felt sigh of relief. We extol the Lord because he's lifted us up. He doesn't let the devil and his agents rejoice over us. We have cried out to the Lord, and from the treasures of his mercy, he heals us. He's turned us to himself, and now we are safe. He reaches out for us. He reaches out for us, and he pulls us into his loving embrace. He gives us His mercy. And we, you and I, have nothing to fear. In Jesus' name, amen.